Oh, hello, mind meatheads. Meatheads? What's a fucking meathead? Hello, mind meatheads. It's Mick Meredith here for this week's podcast. Trying to do two a week. This is the second for the week. I'm just having a coffee. It's lunchtime. Big word. Big word for this podcast is equanimity. Equanimity. Meaning calm or even tempered, which is something I'm trying to be. Trying to have lots of equanimity. Had a bit of a texting war with an ex. And it ended up very positive in the end. It was a nice little end to the texting war. Equanimity. There was equanimity towards the end. Good on you, DH.
Let's get into the podcast.
Oh, hello, mind meats. I don't know what I can't talk today. What's wrong with me? Hello, mind meatheads. How are you? I've just WD-40'd my office chair. I'm actually moving around. You can't hear me, but it really stinks of WD-40. Small things amuse small minds. I'm very excited that there's no squeakiness in the chair because my mate, Dean Atkinson, big hello, buddy. One of Australia's greatest comedians and ventriloquists. He reckons on the last episode that I stopped and farted. I couldn't find it. I went through it. But I think it was the chair squeaking, so I'm a bit paranoid. But now I'm just jumping around my chair and there's no sound. How good is that? I'm going to be lazy again this week with this week's hello and goodbye, international language hello and goodbye. But there is a reason. I'm off to Noumea on Monday to join the carnival spirit, where I'll be telling jokes and doing 1,000 fucking shows because that's what they do. But good on them. It's a living, pays the bills, good crowds, to do kids shows and adult shows, keeps me busy, keeps me off the booze, actually. My hangover's gone. Haven't had a drink since. Going to Noumea, so hello in New Caledonia, which is French speaking, is bonjour. Bonjour, what a lazy prick I am. Anyway, I'm sipping my coffee. Bloody dogs next door have been barking the shit out lately. I just fucking can't fucking hate bad dog owners. Speaking of bad dog owners, I guess I'm a bad dog owner because I've decided that Conan the dog is going to another owner. Hasn't really worked out for me. He's wrecked the back of the house. We haven't really bonded. He's more of an indoor dog. He wants to be an indoor dog. And I've never had an indoor dog in my life, and I'm not going to start now. You might think I'm a bad person, but it's my decision, and I've been really stressed out about it, actually. But he's going to go to another good home. So the outcome's been good. I've worked out there's two types of dog people in the world. There's dog people and people who like dogs. And I'm a person who likes dogs. I've always had dogs, but they've always been outside dogs because I figure they're bred from wolves. That's where they belong. Howling out in the backyard. They can come in if it's, you know, on special occasions. Never had a house dog. It's not for me. I know a lot of people out there listening and going, what a cockhead. But no, it's what I do. But yeah, dog people and people who like dogs. Dog people who just fucking worship dogs. Like, and that's fine. But I'm not that person. I like dogs. Dogs have a place within your life. They're not your life. The company that I got the dog off said that this dog behaviorist guy would ring me up and talk me through how to fix the dog and he'll come around. Mate, I got 20 minutes of this guy just talking my ear off. Could not get a word in. He was just telling me about the dog and he's telling me why the dog's doing this. I have to be the pack leader and I understand I have to be the pack leader, but I couldn't get a word in. By the end of the conversation, I was that stressed out. I decided that. Because at the end of the conversation, he's going, are you committed to the dog? Are you committed to the dog? Like it was a grand final. And I'm like, no, it's not for me. So dog people and people who like dogs. And then there's the other people who don't like animals. But I'm a person that loves animals, but this little pooch is not for me. So he's getting moved on. And I'm concerned about I've noticed I've been openly talking to myself, not inward in the head, but with my lips moving. I mean, I'm doing this now on this podcast, talking to myself. There's no one else in the room. It's a miserable old day outside in Blacktown. But I go through just this chat to myself. The fuck does that mean? Jesus. Is that getting old or going crazy? But anyway, in the context of this podcast, relationships, I've had interesting relationships. My most significant relationship was married to a woman, the mother of my children, and it had ended badly. Like, I've never had such a bad ending to a relationship, maybe not, DH, I don't know. But a lot of people always ask, what happened? What happened to that relationship? So I'm going to tell a story, the story of that breakup of the relationship. I really like Listen to the Moth. So I'm going to tell the story. And the reason why I'm going to tell the story is because people always ask, and I'm sick of telling the story. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell the story, leave it on this podcast. So if anyone ever asks again, what happened with your marriage, I'm going to go to episode 11. And you can listen to it there. I'm going to make it as humorous as possible because it is a comedy podcast. But here it is. I was with my wife for 15 years. Last 2 years, we were reasonably unhappy. I was a stay-at-home dad. I didn't really like being a stay-at-home dad. I thought it was a great job for me. She didn't really want to look after the kids, so I decided to look after the kids. I quit my job as a painter on South Sydney Council. I started doing comedy and a bit of magic shows for kids. We were making enough money. So I just looked after the kids while she was at work, and it was a very stressful job. I do understand postnatal depression and all that sort of stuff with women, mothers. Oh, there's the fucking dog barking. Can you hear that? Yeah, I got really, really depressed. I was struggling to get out of bed. My wife at the time didn't understand depression, didn't want to understand depression. Used to kick me, get out of bed, fucking lazy, get out of fucking bed, go and see a fucking doctor. Anyway. So that was the beginning of the breakdown of the marriage, and she'd obviously we were friends with this other couple who were having trouble with their marriage. Things went downhill fairly quickly, and we all hung out. We'd have drinks on a Sunday. All our kids would play together. They had four boys. We had a boy and a girl. Everyone played together. Everyone liked each other. Pretty much like family. The bloke in general started emailing my wife jokes, which I found fucking weird. I'm a fucking comedian. Why is he emailing her jokes? Why wasn't he emailing me? And I considered him a very close friend. Not a best friend, as sometimes I've said in the past, but a close friend. A confidant. So anyway, our marriage started to break down, and I moved into the back room for 2 weeks. Because we're just fighting constantly. She came home from work one day and she said, this couple that I'm talking about, the woman had come to her and says she believed her husband was having an affair, and she'd taken off to Mudgee, and my wife at the time lent her money to go to Mudgee. And there was a glint in my wife's eye when she told me. She says, well, you seem kind of happy about that. What's going on? What's going on? She went, what do you mean? Blah, blah, blah. Next minute, the bloke rings me, says, the missus has left me. Can I come over for a beer? So I'm like, sure. Meanwhile, I'm living in the back room, as I said. He comes over. He says, all right, if I stay the night. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You'll just have to. No, I looked at my wife and said, oh, we'll have to sleep together tonight because I'm just going to stay the night. We're going to have some beers. And she looked at me and she says, you're never sleeping with me ever again. I want a divorce. In front of the guy. In front of the guy. So I calmly just looked at him, went, I guess we're going to your house. So we ended up buying a carton of beer. I realised my marriage was kind of over. The look in her eye, and I said it all, and got shit-faced. Woke up the next morning, come back, started packing my stuff. talked to her again, realised it was over. She said I could have the kids in the house. I'm like, fucking, yeah, hang on. Well, I'll just go and chill and we'll talk about that, not knowing what was going to happen. Anyway, went and lived in my sister's house. 2 weeks later, I get a letter or a phone call off a solicitor saying they were representing my wife at the time. She wants a divorce and we need to sort out the settlement. And I'm like, 2 weeks, really? That's a bit fast. So I went and got a solicitor. He said that's happening a bit too fast. We need to slow things down. Apparently her solicitor was a shit-hot divorce solicitor, so we're in trouble from the start. He then said you need to move back into the house so you don't lose the house. Meanwhile, during that time, the husband of the couple, he was texting 3 times a day, going, what are you going to do? When are you going to do? You're going to leave? You should go. You should want to go to Queensland. Go and move to Townsville. You loved it in Townsville when you went on tour there. I said, why do I fucking go there? I got 2 kids. Kids were 5 and 7 at the time. I said, mate, fucking settle down. But he was just hassling me, and he was telling me that my wife was going over their house crying in his wife's ear, you know, saying it's over. And then he was saying things like, what a fucking slut. What a fucking mole. And I'm like, yeah, right. In my head, I'm like, fuck, it's weird. You've all of a sudden become very close. We're good mates, but not that close for phone calls and text messages 4 or 5 times a day. Anyway, I moved back into the house. Then he rings me and he tells me, mate, what are you doing? We're moving back into the house. And I'm like, oh, the solicitor said it's the best option so I don't lose the house. And we can. I said, I know the marriage is over. We can come to a reasonable agreement on who gets what. And he starts calling me an arsehole. I'm like, fucking fuck you, you arsehole. What's it got to do with you? Not twigging on what is even going on here. I go on tour to Auckland for a couple of weeks, come back. I'd known the guy for quite a while, so I had time to think about life. And I said, mate, we've been friends a long time. I'm sorry I abused you. Can we sort this out? He goes, nah, you're a fucking prick. I never want to talk to you ever again. Still unawares of what's going on. So anyway, the settlement was sorted out fairly quickly and I moved to a suburb close by so I could still see the kids. I come back one day and this bloke and my missus are sitting on the front porch and he's drinking out of my Penrith Panthers coffee cup. So I knew that he was bonking my missus there and then. So, you know, fun ensued with them two. It was 2 against 1. That was the hardest thing about the whole divorce. 2 against 1. He was texting me horrible things. She was texting me horrible things. They kept the kids from me. But anyway, everyone used to say to me, time heals all wounds, Mikko. Time heals. And I used to just laugh and I'd go, nah, I'm never going to get over this. I'm never going to get over this. But, 12 years on, I'm pretty much over it. And I think they're the dickheads. I see them out. They actually live around the corner from me in the same suburb in Blacktown. Very rarely see them. People always go, what did you move there for? I just wanted to see my kids. The last time I seen them together was up at Woolworths Prospect and she was squeezing his ass in the fruit and veggie section and I went up and whispered in their ear, it's not the way I fucking check the fruit and veggies. She laughed and he just fucking thought, you're a fucking cock. Get fucked. Fuck you. But anyhow, anyway, that's a very condensed version of what happened. Pretty much my wife ran off with a mate. I used to do jokes about it. Yeah, she didn't run off with him straight away. She lied underneath him for a while. But anyway, they lived together in the house that we bought together. And it was a bit shitty for a lot of years. My point of the whole thing is shit gets better. Relationships are relationships. We all move on sometimes. Sometimes we don't. But I'm better for that relationship bust up. She was wrong for me. We married too young. We didn't really know each other. And she can fucking have him. But anyway, that's the story. So I'm just going to tell people to go and fucking listen to the podcast from now on. Heading off on a ship soon. So I will record some stuff on the ship. Until then, it's goodbye in French, which is au revoir. I'm Mick Meredith. Goodbye, Maine Meatheads.